Well, this summer we've spent looking at some of the great stories of Jesus in the Bible. And we have one more today that will end our series. And really it's a story that should almost come at the beginning because it was the first recorded parable that Jesus taught. Well, Steve mentioned there's a wedding coming up this Saturday, and it happens to be that of our son Carl. And so Vacation Bible School was different this year for lots of different reasons. I mentioned to the parents who were assembled at the closing session that it was 19 years ago we came, and one of the very first things we did about 3 weeks into our experience in church life was go to Vacation Bible School. And it just happened on Sunday night that Richard Ricardo Coffrey was kind of helping to lead the thing. He's 19 years old. He was just born. He was Naomi's age, actually younger than Naomi when we first came here. And so I found myself looking at kids and thinking about kids growing up, because that's kind of where I am at. I also found myself looking at the church grounds and thinking, these kids are trampling the very places we're going to be taking pictures on Saturday. And yesterday I went around trying to water and restore what's left of the church grounds after Vacation Bible School, and I found it interesting as I thought about the kids that I taught all week and the grounds on which the church was at. They both fit together under this story that I want to tell you today. This week, my job at Vacation Bible School was to be part of the Bible team. We had a great Bible team. It was fun to be part of it with them. Everybody worked hard, and different people taught different portions of the lessons, and it was just a very effective week. But I found myself at times with the kids, the different kids that came through, all the different age groups, wondering, because I am obviously more practiced, I guess, at speaking to adults. And so when I'm talking to younger kids, I definitely feel outmatched by some of the other people who were leading the Bible time. And I would find myself, because of that, kind of watching the kids and seeing whether they were learning. And I worked really hard to make sure that I did what I did so that they might learn. And I realized that as different groups came through, some of them were just captivated by the story, and some of them didn't hear a word of the story. And I found myself wondering, why is that? And as I wondered about that, you know, I realized my responsibility is, as a teacher with Vacation Bible School, I've got to put together a good lesson. I need to deliver it with energy, and I need to try to keep it on their level. And there are an awful lot of people. My dad has often said that more people are bored out of the Christian faith than are reasoned out of it. And so I find myself, when the kids come through at Vacation Bible School, thinking, I don't want to be a reason why they would be bored out of the Christian faith. But having said that, even putting my best efforts, and even with the best efforts of our Bible crew, there were still some kids who were engrossed in it, and there were other kids who were lost. And I found myself wondering, whose responsibility is that? I mean, is there something that we need to do differently? I realized as I was watering the ground yesterday that the reality of what I see as I look around in the church grounds is really what is true with kids at Vacation Bible School, and is true of a congregation like ours. That is, when I was watering, there are some areas of the church that are very, very shady. And so much shade that hardly any grass grows there. And then there are areas where the kids had their rec time, and that grass is just trampled from all the kids. And then there are areas where they're just, I'm not even sure there's grass there, just a lot of weeds. And I realized that as I watered the church grounds, that what I was doing physically was, in a sense, what I'd been doing all week spiritually. Let me explain to you. Turn to Luke chapter 8, because that's where this comes from, this perspective. Jesus told this parable. It's one that I'm sure you're probably familiar with. It's one of the more important parables, if you can rank them in importance. But it's probably not as well known as some of the other parables. Let me just have you follow along as I read, beginning in verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the among the thorns, and they grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, "What is this that this parable means?" And he said, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, and when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries and riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word and retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This parable was, as I mentioned earlier, was one of the first parables. I think it was the first parable that Jesus told. At this particular juncture of Jesus' ministry, he'd been ministering for about a year. He'd called his disciples, and the crowds were hearing of Jesus. They were enthralled by his teaching, and it seemed like everywhere he went, the crowds grew. In fact, on this particular occasion, we're told earlier that the crowds were so big that Jesus couldn't even stand around to talk to them. He had to get out in a boat and teach them from a boat because there were so many. And so with such a big crowd, you wonder, and did Jesus think, "Boy, you know, I'm a tremendous success"? How did he view his situation? And this is also the chapter before Jesus sends the disciples out in Luke chapter 9. So what he tells in this parable is not only perhaps to give us some perspective on his ministry, but to help the disciples understand their ministry as they were going to be sent out. So it's an important parable. What does it mean? Well, Jesus explains it to his disciples, as we read. He gives us a few different things that we see right at the outset. He makes it pretty clear. The seed is the word of God. As he tells this parable, most parables are not allegories, but this one has an element where there's a connection between the thing pictured and something else. So in this case, the seed represents the word of God. And just as seed gets sown, grass seed gets sown in the church yard and it falls in different kinds of soil, Jesus realized he was talking to a bunch of farmers. They understood this parable far better than we do, because most of us at best are maybe part-time gardeners. But they understood that where you sow your seed makes a difference. And the seed represents God's word. The second thing is the fruit represents, or the plants represent, the results of salvation and the results of what God does in the life of someone who takes in the seed. And so the seed is sown, it gets taken in, and it produces fruit, produces results. Simple enough. And then finally, the soil represents people. And that's the most important part of this parable, is to understand that soils represent different kinds of people. I realized that as I thought about the kids I taught at Vacation Bible School this week. Not all boys and girls are equal. I realize that when I stand in front of a congregation like this one. Not all of you are in the same place. And so when I scatter seed, there's certainly a responsibility that's mine to do the best job I can in preparing a sermon and delivering a sermon, or preparing to teach young children and teaching them. But there's an awful lot that depends upon the soils. And that's what Jesus wants his disciples to understand. Remember, as he explained this parable, everybody heard the parable, but only the disciples came to him and said, "Jesus, okay, we understand this thing about a farmer, but what difference does this make? Explain this to us." And so he did. But one of the things that comes up is this question of, Jesus says, Luke tells us that Jesus said, in verse 10, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." Is Jesus he trying to hide truth? Is he playing some sort of game where he wants to keep some people in darkness? I don't think so. I think this parable is meant to challenge people who want to be challenged. That whenever the Word of God is taught, those who want to know it can spend more time searching it out and trying to find out what it means. Like the disciples who went to Jesus and they asked, "What does this mean?" And then there are those who maybe hear the story and think, "Interesting story," and then they go about their business and it doesn't make much difference. The reason I say that is Jesus clearly is not trying to conceal truth. That's not his purpose. He even goes on in the next few verses that we didn't read, and he says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar and puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open." So Jesus, his purpose is to be a lamp that shines, that he speaks so people can hear. So he is not trying to conceal truth. He's trying to reveal truth. So what is the significance of this parable? Well, there are two lessons that we can learn right up front. This is something you already know if you've walked around your yard, the church yard. You know, you can throw grass seed anywhere, but grass seed doesn't grow everywhere. If I throw grass seed out on the driveway, it might grow between the cracks of the bricks, but it's not going to grow anywhere else. And there's some parts of the church lawn that are like throwing it on the concrete. It just, nothing really grows there. And seed will not grow where it is not welcomed. So when it comes to teaching children, when it comes to speaking to adults, it's helpful to realize that the ground, the soil, the audience makes a difference. And when we think about the Word of God, oftentimes we think of the Word of God, like in Hebrews it says that the Word of God is sharp and powerful, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And we think about the Word as being strong. But in this particular story, it's evident that the Word of God is delicate and it's dependent. It's dependent on where it's planted. And if it's planted in hard soil, it's not going to give much of a result. So the seed will not grow where it's not planted. And along with that, soils are not all the same. Crowds are not all the same. Each group of children is not all the same. There are different types of soil. And understanding that is important for us, important for someone like me who teaches, important for the disciples as they were going out, important for parents as they raise their children, to realize that not all children are the same. Not all audiences are the same. Not all classes are the same. The crowd is different because, like the lawn, there's some parts of the lawn that are too shady, some that are too rocky, some that are pretty shallow, and some that are just perfect for grass to take root and to grow. And that picture, when you think about something as simple as the lawn, can help us understand the audience. Now, as I mentioned, when Jesus spoke in parables, he said, "I speak in parables so that hearing they might hear, and some may not hear, and some may hear." The purpose for that is that parables reveal truth indirectly. That is, if I tell you that even monkeys fall from trees, that may or may not make any sense to you. But if I say even experienced people make mistakes, then you make the connection between the saying and the reality. And parables are like that. They teach truth indirectly. The truth isn't always immediately known. But the idea is to make us investigate it, so that if you want to know, you find out more. And as we've seen over the course of the stories we've looked at this summer, the stories have a way of drawing us in. And if you're interested in knowing more, there's more to be known. If you're happy with just a story, you can walk off and get nothing more. Another thing that Jesus does, he says, this principle clearly helps us understand that Jesus, while some truth is concealed, Jesus is like a lamp. He wants us to understand stuff. So he tells this story so that we can evaluate ourselves. And that's what's important for us as you're listening to this sermon, as you're thinking about this parable. It's important to recognize that this was given for us, so that we might do a little soil analysis. Because this parable helps me understand different types of congregations. It helps me understand different types of audiences. You know, there are those who some churches that. Oh, I got to get you the main point here. He says at the end of verse 18, he says, and this is the main point. Consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. So after he's talked about the different types of audiences, the different types of soils, he says, consider carefully how you listen. This is the big main idea of what he's saying. Out of all this, his challenge is to consider how you listen. Because there's a blessing to how you listen, and there's, I guess, a judgment in how you listen. The blessing is he who has will be given more. The judgment is he who doesn't have, even what he thinks he has or what she thinks she has, will be taken away. And I'd encourage you, if you underline in your Bibles, as long as you don't have a church Bible, if you have your own Bible, to underline verse 18, because this is a message for us. Consider carefully how you listen. Years ago, when I first came to our church, I preached on this parable, and my main idea based on this blessing or judgment is use it or lose it. And that's a principle that applies in so many areas. It's a spiritual principle that Jesus is talking about here. It's a physical principle as well. It's a principle that we see at work in so many ways. You work out. And you do aerobic fitness, you pump iron, you get yourself in great shape, and then you go on vacation. And then you get back from vacation, and you don't quite get back into the routine. And even though you had been in great shape, a week later, 3 weeks later, a few months later, what you built up, you've lost. Now, if you keep working out, you'll stay fit. But if not, you lose it. You use it or you lose it. When I was in college, I spent 8 months in Costa Rica, as some of you know. I learned Spanish and ended up minoring in Spanish in college. And I could carry on conversations with people in the 8 months that I was in Costa Rica. And I have hardly spoken, by comparison, hardly spoken Spanish in the last 35 years. I probably would be totally fluent if I was speaking Spanish every day rather than once every now and then. Even what I had, some of it has been lost. That's the judgment. You use it and you get better at it, or you don't use it and you lose it. And the same thing is true when it comes to the Word of God. It's easy for us to come to church and to listen to a sermon, go to a Sunday school class and listen to a lesson, maybe even get inspired and think, that was great. I just am excited to hear that. But if it never leaves the door, then it's like seed on the ground. You see, there are different kinds of audiences. And Jesus says that some audiences are like hard soil. I mean, like sowing grass seed on the asphalt parking lot. Nothing's going to penetrate. And some people are like thin soil. There's a little layer of soil, and then there's rock underneath. And you throw the grass seed out, and it grows for a little while, but then the sun comes out, and it dries up, and it's gone. And then there are those that are more like the weedy soil, and they have so many things going on in their lives. These things, they may even be good things, really, but they compete with the Word of God for your attention. And it chokes out what you get. So you can hear a good message, but if you don't plant it deep in the soil of your life, even what you thought you had, you lose. Use and appropriate God's truth or lose it. With every sermon, you should, even bad sermons, you should ask yourself, what can I get out of this? How can I use this? I've confessed this to people before. I've preached some of my best sermons. I mean, I really worked hard. I felt really good about them. And the person in the front row is sound asleep. And I don't think that's ever happened, that it's that person in the front row, my wife. But the best message to a sleeping person is not going to do any good. It just bounces off of them. And yet, I have preached some pretty pathetic messages that I was really frustrated with, and I left church thinking, God, I am sorry I didn't do a better job this Sunday. I've had people come back after that and say, you know, I learned something and put that to use in my life, and my life is different because of that. That's the power of God, but it's also good soil. Someone who takes even a poorly sown piece of grass and they plant it deep and it grows. So use and appropriate God's truth or lose it. If we understand that, then we've learned something that'll make a difference in our lives. And this parable, that's what this parable is about. These different kinds of soils help us understand what kind of people we are. In fact, that goes on to help us realize that there are different kinds of congregations. Some churches are hard soil. I've known pastors who've had flourishing ministries in one church, and I have a friend of mine, in fact, who went through the same doctoral program that I went through, and he went to a church where they just did not want to hear what he had to say from the Bible. They were a traditional church, and they wanted to hear about their traditions, and he wasn't in that church more than 3 or 4 years, though he tried really hard. And he left that church and went on to another church, and it grew like crazy. The difference was in the congregation. The preacher was the same preacher. But one place, the soil was hard. The other place, it was open. And there are churches that are hungry, and the pastor may be mediocre, but they grow like crazy because they're still good soil. It's easy for us to sometimes think that it's all dependent on the pastor, but sometimes a mediocre sower has great soil, and the lawn is lush and green. So it explains different kinds of churches. It also explains different types of individuals. This is probably the most important part in terms of how you put this to work in your life. Obviously, you can think about this in terms of just generalities of different people. There are people who they're just not interested in spiritual things. And they show up to church on a Sunday morning, and they get to church, and they know how long they have to be here, and they know where they're going afterwards, and they kind of endure the sermon rather than listen to it. And the whatever message, good, bad, or indifferent, it just bounces off of them because they're not open. And then there are those people who have some interest. I mean, most people, quite honestly, when they come to church, I think they're at least thin-soiled people. Because you don't, if you're as hard as concrete, you don't even come to church usually. You're not interested in having somebody talk about something you don't care about. But there are those who come and you know, they greet me at the door. And they say, that was a great message, Pastor. I really enjoyed it, but that's as far as it ever goes. And then there are so many people in our culture especially, but this was true in Jesus' day because he told the parable, but there are so many things in our lives that choke out the message. The frustrations that we have, the busyness of our schedules, all the things going on in our families. And you can't control all those things, but you can do a little weeding sometimes. But we come full of weeds to church, and eventually those things choke out what we have to hear. And then there are those who are good soil. People who take in the seed, absorb the truth, they put it into practice in their lives, and they grow. So this principle, consider carefully how you listen. Use it or lose it. That's important for all of us. But here's the thing that's important to learn. You are not stuck with the soil that you are. And if you're good soil today, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good soil next week. The reality is our lives are constantly changing. And I think one of the dangers that some of us have is we consider ourselves good soil and we think that we're ready to listen, but the reality is maybe all the things that are going on in our lives are like those weeds that choke it out. Or maybe our soil's just gotten a little thin, that we're really not open to letting God's word sink deep into our lives. Now, on any given Sunday, we can be any of those kinds of soil. So it's important for us to recognize that. And when you come to church on a Sunday morning, I would suggest that one of the best things that each of us can do at the start of every Sunday morning is just do a little soil analysis and say, Am I ready? Are there sins in my life that I need to confess that are going to keep me from hearing God's word? Are there worries that so overwhelm me that I just can't focus? I need to pray and give those to God. Before there can be seeding, sometimes we have to do a little weeding. So use and appropriate God's word or lose it. That's what this parable is all about. So the bottom line question is, what kind of soil are you going to be? What kind of soil am I going to be? It's a choice that we have. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, every Sunday morning, you have the opportunity to ask God to help you be good soil. You can take notes in the sermon or make sure you get the main point and think, how can I use this in my workplace? Sometimes I or whoever's speaking may not make it as applicational as it should be. But sometimes good soil takes even poorly sown seed. and grow something amazing by it. So, that's the parable. And the question for each of us is, what kind of soil are we going to be? Because if you take in God's truth, put it to work in your life, you will be blessed. And that's something that can encourage and challenge and motivate us through every church service and every opportunity we have to hear God's word. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for the truth and the power of your word. Father, I pray that you would plant it within us and, Lord, give us hearts, desires to be that soil, that good soil. I thank you that your spirit is at work within us and we don't do this on our own. We pray these things in Jesus' name.